It's Friday. And I'm feeling a little better than I did yesterday. I'm still dealing with this bug, and I'm glad it's the weekend. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Sam is in our control room ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. A little bit of a program note. This radio show is only going to be live for the first 2 hours because I have to take Claire to the doctor. We can't move the appointment, and I'm her Uber. So third hour, Sam's picked out a really good best of tape he's going to play for you. But we are here live for 2 hours, and so feel free to call on in and chit-chat. Now then, before we get into the serious news, for all you space buffs, of which I am one, there is a major lunar eclipse taking place Sunday night to Monday morning. And it is ideally positioned for people on the continental United States, or for that matter, South America, to see. And it's going to be a very long eclipse. Totality is actually going to last like an hour, which is unprecedented. And it's also a supermoon, meaning the moon is at the closest point in its orbit to Earth. So it's going to be an interesting little sight. So if you are on Pacific Coast time, then the eclipse begins at 7:33 p.m. and it ends at 10:50 p.m. If you're on Mountain time, obviously it's 8:33 start, 11:50 end. If you're on Central Standard Time, it's at 9:33 is when it starts in the evening, and it ends at 12:50 a.m. the next morning. People on Eastern Time, obviously it starts at 10:33 and ends at 1:50 in the morning the next day. Here in Hawaii, it's going to be already in totality as the moon is rising here. So we'll get to see part of it, not all of it here. All right, as long as we're talking space, the return of Star Wars. And for those of you who are a little young to understand, there's a reference there besides George Lucasfilm franchise, and it had to do with Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, in which they borrowed and spent fantastic sums of money to try and build a ballistic missile shield for the entire United States. And it was a boondoggle. Not much of any real practical use came out of it. But Donald Trump is getting ready to try again with a space-based missile defense system. So Trump announced this yesterday at the Pentagon. And he set out his goal, saying he wants to ensure we can detect and destroy any missile launched against the United States anywhere, anytime, any place, which sounds really good. Now, a space-based missile defense system actually violates treaties against the weaponization of space. But Trump is out there saying the U.S. is ready to quit all treaties and we'll make militarization of space inevitable. Now, I disagree with this. Obviously, space-based sensors to detect missile launch are a good idea, and they were part of Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative. There was the boost stage detection satellites, the coast stage detection satellites, and just a whole network of these things orbiting the Earth, or that was going to be the plan here. But again, as I've mentioned before, my concern about the militarization of space is if we start shooting each other's satellites, they're going to break into pieces. And unlike an air war down here close to the ground, where the pieces fall to the ground and that's it, those pieces of space debris will stay, for the most part, in orbit. Some will fall into the atmosphere. Some will go into very erratic orbits. But most of them are just going to stay in some kind of an orbit up there at near-Earth space, where they form shrapnel and represent a risk to other satellites, including non-military ones. And you could start a cascade function where you have one satellite gets destroyed, it sends out a bunch of shrapnel, that in turn destroys two more satellites, they send out their shrapnel, those destroy four satellites, and so forth and so on. You can see where I'm going with this. So I think this is a really, really bad idea. And I'm not the only one. Daniel Ellsberg is out there saying that he doesn't think it can work, and it's going to make a nuclear Armageddon more likely. And he described it basically as a dangerous lunacy. But Trump wants to have his space force. And I understand they're already setting up the command structure for it, but it's a space force without much in the way of actual technology. Over at the Arms Control Association, they're describing this plan as a threat to global nuclear deterrence. And they're saying that the U.S. should concentrate on negotiating strategic stability with Russia and China, such as go back to the INF and mutual inspections. We don't have the money to spend on building a whole new fleet of nuclear weapons. Neither does Russia, neither does China. So pretty much everybody except the military-industrial complex seems to think that this is a bad idea. Ron Paul came on out and said, yeah, somebody's going to make money by stoking fear. Oh, be afraid of Russia. Be afraid of China. We need more of your money to put weapons in space. We don't need weapons in space. We don't even need 800 military bases around the world. We don't even need an army, navy, air force, or marines. We need the coast guards for the smugglers. Don't forget, we have the world's second largest nuclear arsenal, 6,550 nuclear warheads. No nation is going to attack the United States. They know what the inevitable result would be. Their country would get slagged down. They know it. We know it. If the Defense Department's real purpose is defense, pardon me, then that's all we need. Rely on that nuclear deterrent. Rely on the existing warheads. We don't need any new ones. And just say, you know, we're going to mind our business. You mind yours. Anybody who tries to attack the United States of America, we vaporize their home country. Period. End of story. Instead, we have the situation of we've got all these weapons, but we're not going to use them. And we're going to send other people's children with conventional weapons into other countries to mess around with them, which brings me to Syria. Units of the Syrian military forces, the Tiger forces, are reinforcing their positions in northwestern Hama. They're being deployed on a front line near the militant held town of Kalat al-Madik in northwestern Hama. And this may be signaling an upcoming offensive in the area. Now, apparently, Turkish President Erdogan and his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, are set to meet in Moscow on the 23rd of this month. And it's believed that they will discuss the situation in Idlib, among other issues, and possibly look at some kind of a new way to reinforce the failed demilitarized zone agreement during that meeting. So I'm glad somebody's talking to somebody here. Now, there was an interesting article that came on out from FFF.org. And it's basically lambasting Donald Trump for that nighttime trip to Iraq over Christmas. And I'm sure a lot of people agreed with me that it was great for Trump to go see the troops and give the troops a chance to see him and help build their morale. But he sort of basically snuck in and snuck out. And there's an interesting statistic that you need to keep in mind. We've been talking about how the United States has been in Afghanistan for 17 years. It's America's second longest war outside of Korea, which is still technically on. We've been in Iraq for 15 years now. 15 years. The Iraqi people want us gone. The Iraqi government wants us gone. It's turned into a real circus over there. Another article, this one out of nationalinterest.org. Israel is going to have to accept that the U.S. will no longer police the Middle East. And they start by commenting on President Trump's decision to pull out 2,000 American soldiers from Syria and another amount of soldiers from Afghanistan. Of course, he's being fought by elements of the deep state like Mike Pompeo and John Bolton. But he may still put his foot down. Now, of course, everybody's out there saying the Americans have betrayed the Kurds. And that represents a win for Iran and a victory for Russia, a victory for Syria, and utter chaos in the Middle East. But the United States has spent a lot of years and a lot of money maintaining hegemonic domination over the Middle East for the benefit of Israel, which is constantly saying, you know, we're under threat, existential threat from our neighbors. But again, Israel has nuclear weapons. They don't have as many as the United States does, but no country in the Middle East is going to attack or invade Israel, because Israel would simply uncork on them with a big bomb. That's the way to have peace in the world. Shut down all the armies, all the navies, all the air forces, you know, have civil law enforcement, go after the drug dealers and smugglers and so forth and that kind of stuff. And just every country gets 1,000 nuclear warheads. And everybody's afraid to attack everybody else. Doesn't that sound like it's going to work a lot better than the system we have right now? Speaking of Israel, there is this ongoing war on the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And I think the U.S. Senate, the new U.S. Senate, sort of showed what a high priority Israel has become. The very first bill they passed, or tried to pass, it's actually failed 3 votes now, was a bill to not only give Israel a lot more money, but to outlaw boycott, divestment, and sanctions in this country. This is clearly unconstitutional. Under Marbury versus Madison, it's a non-law. And I do wish that somebody would take one of these cases up to the Supreme Court, because as of right now, 26 U.S. states, more than half, have already passed legislation or some form of condemnation of the civil act of boycott as championing the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And that should show you the scale of Israel's influence on the United States. 26 states. Somebody's got to take one of those bills to the Supreme Court. It'll get struck down. It's a clear violation of the First Amendment right to freedom of speech. Why is Israel doing this right now? Well, because, frankly, BDS is getting out there. Activism by Palestinian Americans and their allies is bearing fruit. Israel's no longer able to just dehumanize Palestinians and make the world believe they deserve the way they're being treated. The tide is shifting. And that's why Israel is desperate to shut the discussion down. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, not only is Israel making everybody, like the Palestinians, to be lesser, but we do the same thing. So does the French and the British. I mean, the French, oh, we're going to stay in Syria. They're not even invited over there. You know? I mean,
yep.
I voted for Trump. I'm a Democrat. Well, you know, I'm under I don't like the Democrats, but I like some, like, you know, universal health care and this or that. It's better than building bombs, right? But,
yes.
I mean, what Trump did, like, with Iraq when he went to see the troops, that was a good thing to see the troops. But he didn't tell the Iraqi government he was coming. I mean, like, if somebody woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go get something to eat in their, like, kitchen, And they turn on the lights and, like, they look at what's their relatives doing in their living room. You know, you can't, this is an arrogance. You know what I mean? Like, it's Iraq's country. You can't just, I don't understand.
Well, I think the reason that Trump didn't inform the Iraqi government was on the off chance that somebody in the Iraqi military might take a shot at him as he come in or go out.
Yeah, but I mean, it comes a time, like you said, we've been in Iraq how long? In Afghanistan?
15 years.
Yeah, in Afghanistan, what, 17 years?
Yes.
For what? For what? Like, what? Is there an end game? You know what I mean? Like, you know, what's the purpose? There is no purpose, because the purpose is just to keep it destabilized. It's an empire of garrisons, and eventually you're going to have to leave. I think Trump partially knows that because he's leading you money, you know, in the long run. But, like,
yes.
But Mike, I looked at also, like, Nancy Pelosi with Trump, you know, where he canceled the Air Force trip for her. She just got off a vacation in Hawaii, where you're at.
Yeah.
She comes home and ready to take another trip to, what, Brussels, Belgium, right? Egypt?
And Afghanistan
to say hi to the troops. You think she really cares about the troops? She was going on another vacation to meet with the other elite over there.
Yes.
You know, she can't stay back to do any deals with the wall or the government shutdown. She's got to travel to get out of Washington, because that's how these people live, Mike. I mean, she's showing how they live. You know, that's it, right? I mean, they don't care about us.
No, they don't. They see themselves as you know, more equal than others. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of congressional travel going on. But Donald Trump has basically said, until the shutdown is over, no more government-sponsored flights on military planes. And he pointedly told Nancy Pelosi, if you feel you must go, you know, fly commercial. And Pelosi has enough money to fly commercial. I mean, she's worth something like $190 million. But it's just part of this very childish punch, counterpunch that's going on Capitol Hill, where Nancy Pelosi is trying to basically get Donald Trump to delay the State of the Union or call it off or submit it in writing. And this was Trump's rebuttal, if you will.
And you know what's funny, Mike? Like, you know, you look at the rank and file people. Like, our government's bloated by about, like, what, 95%, right? I mean, come on.
Something, you know, like that.
You know, I mean, I feel bad for the people working for the government, like for the lower echelon. I mean, they don't all get paid $100,000 a year. I mean, you got lower tier government workers and this or that. But I mean, it is over bloated. It's basically a welfare state for the government. That's what it is. You know, isn't there more government workers than we got manufacturing in this country? That's bad.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I heard a statistic somewhere that one out of every four Americans is involved with government at some level, whether it's city government, county government, state government, or national government, that somehow or other they're tangled up with government. One out of four. That is a management of 25%. And anybody who will tell you that successful businesses usually have no more than 10% of the workforce in management roles. So we're definitely management heavy. And by the way, even those lower tier workers in the federal government, they're still making about 1.5 times what people doing the exact same job in the private sector are making. You know, plus people in the private sector can be fired if they're not producing.
It's just, you know, Mike, it's just come down to, like, it's just a corrupt cesspool of unfixable. It's just, I mean, as like just like a thinking person, it's unfixable at this point. Where do you start and where do you end? You know, it's a broken system that is just eating itself up. That's it at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying our best strategy right now is just be patient and stay calm, because it is tearing itself apart. And I think we're going to be looking at a Soviet Union style collapse somewhere down the road. Could even happen this year. Anyway,
okay, Mike,
listen,
I love the rest of the show. Okay.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the phones to Glenn in Philadelphia. Aloha, Glenn. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. You know, if you remember the 1967 James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice, with Sean Connery, you probably remember the plot that an American and a Soviet spaceship were both of them were gobbled up in space by a larger spaceship run by the bad guy. I forget which bad guy it was. But that technology actually now exists. It was developed as a collaboration between Waste Management and Dyson. It's called NEOS, for Near Earth Orbital Satellite Sucker. And, you know, they want to deploy this specifically to go up and gobble up all those little astronaut gloves and little bits of junk and pesky spy satellites from other countries, and, you know, they gobble them up. The only problem, the real sticking point right now, is that if this being Waste Management involved, anyone involved is going to have to be with the Teamsters Union, and the union dues are out of this world.
Yes, I know.
So basically this is going to end up being a very useful thing. I mean, they can bring satellites back down for repair and redeploy them and all that, and scoop up all the junk. And then, you know, and then if somebody just gets a little edgy and, you know, uses an anti-satellite missile to blow something up, they get paid the money to go up there and scoop up all the debris and make it safe for, you know, astronauts to transit to and from the International Space Station and all that good stuff.
Well, it sounds really good, and there have been a lot of proposals for space junk collection here. It's going to be hideously expensive on the scale of the space shuttle program because, you know, let's say that you grab five pieces of space debris. That also involves one launch and one return to Earth, and there's a lot of debris up there. It's also, when you talk about a satellite coming apart, the debris isn't all just sitting there like it would be floating on the ocean when a ship sinks. It's scattered very rapidly. And the real issue that you're dealing with are crossing orbits because there's a lot of the debris are in high inclination orbits that are precessing. And they can basically, be thousands of miles an hour as they cross your orbit. And that's going to take a really big catcher's mitt to slow down and grab.
Right, right, exactly. They have to use, like, asbestos nets and stuff, you know, so they can make it back through the friction of the atmosphere coming back, you know. But, unfortunately, things, that's not as easily done as all that. But, just the danger of the debris already up there is enough, and then everybody starts blowing things up, and as you say, that it wouldn't be long before it would put an end to all space travel near Earth and
yes.
otherwise.
Yeah.
Anyway. All righty, Mike. That's about it. Take care.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Yeah, the problem is a lot of that space debris is simply too small to be tracked. NORAD tracks the larger space debris from here on Earth. Pardon me. But there's stuff up there that's very small. Flecks of paint, screws that have come off spacecraft, the astronaut's glove. And, of course, these days, again, because of treaty, all satellites have to include a means to deorbit and come on down. We had one come on down just south of Maui here about a couple of months ago. But there's a lot of stuff up there from before that treaty was signed. And it's dead, it's non-functioning, it's just sitting there, and it's making a mess of the place. And, it's sort of like that Pacific garbage patch. The stuff is very, very far apart, but taken all together, it is starting to cause a great deal of concern. Again, because it's all whizzing around so fast. All right, let's take, I'm going to leave this next phone call off until after we come back from the next commercial break here. Getting on down to Israel, Israeli forces are still using excessive force against peaceful protesters in the Gaza Strip. Apparently, a woman and a child were killed during the 42nd week of the Return and Breaking the Siege March. 143 civilians, including 34 children, 3 women, 3 journalists, and 3 paramedics, were wounded, 3 of them seriously wounded. And apparently in the Gaza Strip, the Israeli forces killed Amal al-Termasa, 44 years old. She was hit with a bullet to the head. At the time she was shot, she was 200 meters away from the border fence between Gaza Strip and Israel. So it doesn't look like she was even part of the protests. Just got hit there. Little factoid, the poverty rate in Gaza now exceeds 80%. And the General Federation of Palestinian Trade Unions is warning both poverty and unemployment rates have reached unprecedented levels in the Gaza Strip because of the economic strangulation. Israel's Security Minister Gilad Erdan is asking for the international observers to be expelled from Hebron. He's out there saying they're clearly not neutral. They're hostile to Israel. They complain about everything that we do. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. We got a caller waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Here we're going to go back to the phones to Lenny in California. Aloha, Lenny. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I want to talk about the hypocrisy of Pelosi. And after she subliminally suggested that Trump cancel the State of the Union address, she had a little press conference and stood before the cameras and the mics and snorked about how she hadn't heard from Trump and how usually his Twitter account was so busy. She actually stood there and smirked about that. But I like what he did and waiting right before they were about to board the plane. And then he dropped the hammer on them. Okay, that's what I call a grown man move. I guess it's safe to say he won't be getting off in any Gillette commercials.
I think the only person who liked that Gillette commercial was Stephen Colbert. What was really interesting was apparently these congressmen were on their way to the airfield in a chartered bus, and they had to just turn around and come back when the word came on down. Nope, that military plane is not going to take you anywhere.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Talking about, she was saying how there would not be enough security to keep everybody safe at the so-called State of the Union address. Guess what she did? She got not only had security to go with her to Brussels on a vacation, then to Egypt, and then to Afghanistan to make herself to really upstage Trump after Trump went to Iraq. okay? She hired extra security to go with her, which would have cost more than what it would have cost to cover the State of the Union, okay? Now, as far as Lindsey Graham and the likes of him, you know, trying to power Trump's what I call intestinal fortitude down and saying, oh, we need to stop this sophomore tit-for-tat kind of moves. I got one thing to say to Pelosi, and I'm saying this with pun intended. Hey, tit, meet tat. That's all I got to say, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thanks an awful lot, Lenny. And the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI and the Secret Service have already come on out saying it's utterly ridiculous to say that the State of the Union speech is in any kind of security danger, you know, unless there's an inside job, which is always possible here. Okay, the phone lines are now open. There we go. Getting on back to Israel, apparently Israel's Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit will meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu's lawyer to discuss Netanyahu's request that Mandelblit not make any decision in the cases against him prior to April's election. Now, reading between the lines here, it sounds like Netanyahu knows he's about to be charged, and he just wants to avoid not having it out there before the election. But this is almost as good. I mean, depending upon whether the Israeli media is reporting on this or not, people are going to say, oh, he's sounding like he actually did something that he thinks he can be indicted for here. Story coming out of USA Today, and USA Today, of course, is, you know, rah-rah for the war agenda here. And they're talking about this Pentagon report released yesterday describing North Korea's missile and nuclear program as an extraordinary threat to the United States. And the U.S. must remain vigilant despite ongoing diplomatic engagement. Okay, same logic applies. How is North Korea a threat to the U.S.? The U.S. has 6,550 nuclear warheads. The only country with more nuclear warheads than the United States is Russia, and that's just by a slim margin. If North Korea were to attack the United States, the result would be obliteration for North Korea, and the North Koreans are smart enough to know that. This is all fear-mongering on the part of the Pentagon to get you to go along with more military spending, more toys for the military. By the way, completely tangential, I was watching the educational channels last night, and there was a show on talking about bird strikes, and it started out with the Miracle on the Hudson, which we all know was an absolutely heroic case, talking about the very real problem of bird strikes and the fact that it does happen a lot more than people know. Obviously, the aviation industry doesn't want you to know that it's a problem, but they did an interesting little statistic that military aviation accounts for only 6% of all the aircraft in the sky, but is responsible for one third of the bird strikes because they like to fly low down and very, very fast. And they had some rather spectacular video as well. Apparently, it's when you're in takeoff or landing, bird strikes are possible. And for the commercial jetliners, once they're up there, you know, 30,000 feet, 35,000 feet, they're not going to find any birds up there. But it was an interesting statistic here. Okay, story out of, again, a newly released Pentagon unclassified intelligence report created by the Defense Intelligence Agency is warning that China is making rapid advances in military technology and that they already lead the world in key weapons areas. They're on the cutting edge. Remember all this talk they had a few months ago about, oh, China's trying to steal our military secrets. China doesn't need them. Okay. Well, over in the House of Representatives, they passed a resolution, actually an amendment, that specifically says, we deny funding to a border wall. The amendment passed 230 to 197. What was interesting was that 8 House Democrats voted against it. So Pelosi is losing a lock on her leadership position. And apparently the Democrats who voted against it are New York Democratic Representative Anthony Brindisi, South Carolina Democratic Representative Joe Cunningham, Oklahoma Democratic Representative Kendra Horn, New Jersey Democratic Representative Andy Kim, Pennsylvania Representative Conor Lamb, Minnesota Representative Colin Peterson, Michigan Representative Elise Slotnick, and New Jersey Representative Jeff Van Drew. So I think the Democrats, along with everybody else, they're getting tired of the standoff. This partial government shutdown is now the longest one in the entire history of the United States. There have been shutdowns before, never like this, and still no end in sight. We're coming up on month number one. We're also coming up on that day where the that's not good. Apparently there was a weather-related plane accident in Omaha. Anyway, getting on back to things here. Here's an interesting thing. The latest polls are showing that Trump is gaining points with Latino voters during this border wall shutdown. Now, the headline says it's a shock poll. I don't find it shocking at all. I mean, my sense of it is that the legal Latino migrants, the legal Hispanics who came here through the process properly, are very angry over the illegal immigrants coming on in and basically competing for the same resources. And I think the legal Hispanic immigrants are getting tired of being sort of conflated or mixed in with the illegals. Oh, they're all Hispanics. They're all Latinos. Well, no, some of them are supposed to be here. You've got to keep that in mind. Some of them are supposed to be here. And I can imagine that they want to see that fence up there just to protect themselves and their families. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has accused House Democrats of trying to swing elections with this major piece of legislation called For the People Act. And Mitch is saying, despite its promise that it's there to clean up voting and campaign finance, it's a power grab and a naked attempt to change the rules of American politics to benefit the Democratic Party. And he wrote this in an op-ed for the Washington Post. Interestingly enough, Donald Trump was watching William Barr's Attorney General confirmation hearing Tuesday, where Barr spoke about his close friendship with special counsel Robert Mueller. And Trump, this was apparently a complete surprise to him. And the president said he didn't realize how close they were when he nominated him. The implication being he wouldn't have nominated him. Well, doesn't anybody at the White House know how to do a thorough background check? How can you nominate somebody for one of the most powerful offices in the land and not do everything that you can find, do to find out if he's got any compromising connections, which in this case, he clearly does. I mean, we here on the internet, we dug up Barr's connection going all the way back to Ruby Ridge and protecting Lon Horiuchi from prosecution for gunning down Vicki Weaver. So we have another man slated to go into the Office of Attorney General, the top law enforcement office in this country, who has a history of thwarting the law. We don't need another one like that. Meanwhile, over at Robert Mueller's office, he's beginning to take advantage of all the bickering and backstabbing among Trump's insiders. And according to this report in Politico, there's kind of a circular firing squad of former Trump allies and aides that are basically shooting at each other in an effort to dodge prosecution. And Mueller is going to take full advantage of that. Now, here's a story. It's been all over the place. I'm not sure I give it much credence, but the way the story is going is that President Donald Trump ordered Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about the extent of his involvement in the Moscow Trump Tower project, and that he wanted to visit Putin during 2016 campaign to help negotiations. Now, this is being sourced supposedly from two federal law enforcement officials who so far are remaining unnamed. And they're claiming Trump personally instructed Cohen to lie to Congress about when the negotiations for the tower ended. And apparently the report is saying that Trump, as well as Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka, were receiving regular updates about the development. It was a business deal, by the way. We're not talking about national security. It's a business deal. And Trump was, apparently they were hoping the tower could bring him $300 million in profits, which would be a good reason to do that. And mind you, all of this was being done, you know, back before we really started being told we had to hate Russia. But again, we've had so many phony accusations made against Donald Trump. I'm not ready to take this one at face value, not without some confirmation. There's a lot of fake news out there. In fact, to be very honest, I pulled down the story about Ruth Bader Ginsburg having pneumonia, because its original source is this Santa Monica Observer, which is not really a reliable paper, and I can't find confirmation anywhere. So we have to be very, very careful about here. Story coming out of Information Clearinghouse, the U.S. media is intensifying a pretext for ousting Trump. The story is creeping. They're sort of pulling away from Russian collusion, probably because they can't find anything, and they're moving toward a new narrative that he is a national security risk. Just a very vague description. He's a national security risk and therefore should not be president. Boy, they are really, really out for him. Somebody did a study, the Media Research Center, and they looked at all of the news coverage about Donald Trump that aired on ABC, CBS, and NBC last year. And they found out that 90% of the stories coming from the corporate news networks were anti-Trump spin. All right, we're going to take a phone call here from Curtis in Nevada. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, we were talking about senior executive service, and I'm making the point that what the shutdown is one of the things it's to eliminate this department. And you said that the seniority thing would factor in where they wouldn't be able to eliminate the most tenured people, and you remember that, right? Yesterday?
Yeah, I remember that discussion. Right? Yes,
yeah.
You're on the air.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay, but, you know, the point is to eliminate the department or to alter it or to diminish it, and if they do that, these people, it doesn't matter whether they have to retain them because of their seniority, that they would lose the authority that they had as under that department, that yeah, you know, we're going to retain you, but we can transfer you to another, anywhere else. You see what I mean? So it doesn't matter whether they have to keep the actual employee, that they just want to eliminate that department, the SES, because that is, like we said, it was weaponized during the Obama administration, just to be able to get these deep state operatives, give them the kind of immunity so they can operate, you know.
Yeah, it's a good old boys club. It's a good old boys club.
No, Michael, it's beyond that. It's the globalist way to reinforce their hold on this government. And just like when they had set up the Jade Helm positioning, that once Hillary got in, and a war starts or whatever happens that would cause unrest, they were set up for it. They were set up for, they were setting up for our fall under her administration. And the SES, we eliminate them, they're going to lose any cover that they had as far as, like I said, these bad players walking around like they have immunity. And they were all members of it, you know, including some of the people that Trump has appointed. Like you say, Barr, right?
Yes. Well, again, Trump is proving to be easily manipulated, and I think somebody else suggested Barr, and Trump said, yeah, sure, why not? And he shouldn't be quite so cavalier, because he is being surrounded by people who do not like him and who want to protect the deep state. Anyway, Curtis, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. What's on my mind is Trump. Boy, he's, you know, let's be honest about it. You know, all these people who say he knows 4D chess and this and that, it's all nuts. I don't even think the man knows how to play chess. I know how to play chess. I probably beat him in about four or five moves. But the fact of the matter is, that he didn't know who Barr was. The guy was, you know, the minute he said Barr, and I knew he was a Bush, that he was Attorney General for H.W. Bush, I knew right away, bad news. A lot of bad things happened during the administration. Right away, of course he has to know Mueller. They all cook out of the same kitchen. And remember, Mueller was involved in the Whitey Bulger case.
Yeah, the Whitey Bulger case. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I very strongly believe he had Bulger knocked off. Okay? You know, the way they transferred him from one facility to another, I've worked in corrections. You just don't do that. You just don't, from one security facility to another. If you're going to transfer an 80, 90-year-old inmate who's got severe medical problems, confined to a wheelchair, from what I understand, maybe you put him in a medical unit, but you don't put him into an even higher security facility and then leave him on his own. And I think that was a hit. That was playing, you know. And Mueller is a dirtbag. He's a dirtbag from a long way back. So you should have figured that the guy like Barr would know Mueller and probably would be friends with him. The same thing when he appointed this guy Ray after he got rid of Comey. He might as well have kept Comey. Another dirtbag from the Justice Department, another shyster lawyer. He could have gotten a guy like a real patriot, like Sheriff David Clark there. He could have put him in there instead, FBI director or DHS or whatever. Instead, what does he do? He gets rid of one shyster lawyer and puts in another. And then he's surprised. The guy doesn't know what he's doing, Mike. He does not know what he's doing.
He's listening to his advisors, and they're giving him bad advice.
Yes.
And as I said before, the biggest single mistake Donald Trump made coming into office was to be magnanimous in victory and keep on all these holdovers from the Obama administration. And he apparently naively believed that since he was now the boss, they would be loyal to him. And they weren't.
Mike, you know what they do too? They use flattery in the guy. They know he's narcissistic. They say, oh yeah, you know, they tell him something like, I understand he met Barr at some party or something, and Barr told him to say like something like, and right away, oh, he's a great guy. He's a really great guy. I like him. I want this and that. This is his problem. This man does not know what he's doing. He is being taken advantage of, but, you know, I don't care about him. I care about this country, okay?
Yes.
And that's what's happening. The country is being destroyed from within. We've got enemies within. And I was at the gym before. I saw something about the Korean guy on again. I don't care about North Korea, man. I care about this country. What's going on inside this country? And this country is being destroyed from within. That's what the enemy is. The enemy is not in North Korea. It's not in Russia. It's not in China. It's right here in the good old USA.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to have to cut you off here. We got to do a station identification break. We'll be back with hour number two and another phone call after these few words.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And before we get back to the phones here, once again, I want to remind everybody that only the first 2 hours